Fed Talks is a weekly podcast featuring federal program staff from the Georgia Department of Education and Georgia's public schools.
For many individuals, the purpose of federally funded programs is unknown.
Through its Fed Talks series, the Georgia Department of Education is sharing more information on the ways Georgians are leveraging federal funds to serve Georgia students and Georgia schools.
This is John White.
And this is Craig Gears.
And this is Fed Talks with John and Craig.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Craig Gears with John White. And also in the room today, we have with us Amy Song, who is our program manager for the Family School Partnership Program. So that will be the focus of this series, is what Congress intended in putting this into the law. And so without further ado, then, I think we will get underway and start grilling you with all kinds of questions about this. So let's start with the basic one. Why does Congress intentionally include parent and family engagement in the Every Student Succeeds Act?
All right, well, it's a great question to start off with. So not only did Congress include engaging parents in the Every Student Succeeds Act, it was passed in 2015, but Congress had also included parent involvement in the 2001 version of Elementary and Secondary Education Act, which we called it No Child Left Behind. So you see different versions of this federal law being reauthorized, and Congress continues to put in engaging parents and family members.
So why do you think they do that? I mean, why do they actually make it a point to say we want to make sure that this law, which is meant to serve, generally speaking, children in poverty?
Well, I think it's because Congress realizes, and their constituents realize, that parents play a vital role in a child's education, and that parents need to have a voice in how schools make decisions of how students are learning in the classroom and how teachers are teaching in the classroom. And so you can actually see a shift in the language, because it used to be called parental involvement in the law, but Congress changed it recently in 2015 under Every Student Succeeds Act. I think because they're noticing that it's not just to involve a parent in a child's education or inviting them to a school just for one event, Congress wanted to emphasize the word engagement instead of involvement, because the word engagement has more of a commitment behind it, and that it's more of a relationship based between the teacher and the parent, or the school staff and the parent, and that that relationship has more of a solidifying connotation to it when you say engagement versus just being involved with someone.
So would you consider an example of like donuts for dad, would you consider that involvement or engagement?
I would consider that more involvement. And you would see a lot of schools using Donuts for Dad as kind of an introduction to, hey, this is the school, here we are. But then they would follow up and do more of a building capacity for the parent, for doing more sessions that are continuous, that go deeper into a child's education and what they're learning in the classroom. And so Donuts for Dad, I would consider to be more involved, but then it's a way to hook them into being more engaged throughout the school year.
That's a good example. Thanks for explaining that.
And John, I mean, we were teachers. Most of us here were. I think it's really easy as teachers just to close the door and teach. And I think for the target population for ESSA, it's really important that those parents be included in the education process. So I guess I'm getting back to the point of, you know, why is this really included in the law? Because it is easy for everybody just to ignore the fact that parents need to play a role.
Well, exactly. And we've seen research just through our work with your team, Amy, just that the amount of time that parents are with their child is far greater than the amount of time teachers are with their child. So they need to be at the table. And I guess they need to know what's happening in the classroom. Would you agree?
Yes, definitely. And parents are their child's first teachers. Right. I mean, even before they walk through a school door, they were at home helping their infant, toddler, preschooler learn numbers and letters before they even got to kindergarten. And so parents naturally are their child's first teachers. And to make sure that that parent has that voice, that input into how their child is learning in the classroom, that's an important partner to have at the table.
You know, and I'm just going to throw this out there. I think a lot of folks listening might be very familiar with the PTA. Yes. Right? That's in a lot of schools. Is there a connection to the work that you're doing here? Is there any kind of connection with that group at the school level?
Well, we have a very strong relationship with Georgia PTA, and they invited me to be a liaison on their board of directors. And so going to their quarterly meetings and finding out what their plan is to help engage more parents, I hear more about what's going on throughout Georgia and how PTA, they do have strong memberships in different school districts throughout Georgia, and certain schools definitely have parent leaders mm-hmm. who are on the leadership team of the PTA, but they're also very active in the school and they have great relationships with the school principals. And we usually do different collaboration with Georgia PTA. And in the past, we've done statewide conferences with them. And so there's a lot, I mean, they're all volunteers.
Right.
They don't get paid to do any
right.
of this. So they really do it because they're committed and they're passionate about it.
Right, but I think, Craig, when we were teachers, probably when we thought about parents, they probably thought first about the PTA. That was, in a lot of cases, their first avenue into the school was through mm-hmm. the PTA. And now with the way S is written with parent engagement, that's another way that we can get parents into the classroom, right? And there's
yes.
collaboration and connections.
Yes, because it's not just those who are members of PTA, it's any parent who has any child in the school that's encouraged to get engaged.
And when we talk about engagement, it really is about improving the, as far as the law is concerned, about improving the academic achievement of the student. Okay.
Yes, so that's why it's important to have teachers and parents at
right.
the table, because the teachers know how their child is doing in class. And so the teacher could be communicating with the parent, whether it's through online parent portals or text messages or phone calls, to say, hey, Johnny did really well today in math. This is what he's learning this week. And for the parent to be informed of knowing how their child's doing and to have that direct relationship with the parent is very important, because that's how you can help the child with their academic success.
Interesting, and I know we're going to get into what exactly the districts
right.
and the schools have to do, but is it basically every school in Georgia has to implement this requirement of the law?
Well, yes and no. So all school systems in Georgia do receive Title I Part A funds. So because they receive the funds, they're required to carry out the law. And in Title I Part A, there is a section of the law that's specifically about parent-family engagement. So each school system in Georgia decides which schools receive Title I Part A funds. So some schools don't and some schools do, and the ones that do receive them are called Title I schools.
Mm-hmm.
And those Title I schools are required to do parent and family engagement as written in the law.
Okay.
The non-Title I schools can also do family engagement, but it might look different because they're not required to do certain parts of the law. They might just want to engage parents because they know how important it is.
Right, that makes perfect sense. And I would think that some of the work that these Title I schools do as they develop really good parent engagement practices would want to be transmitted to all schools, right?
Yes.
That would be the goal.
Yes, and a lot of times the district level office will encourage all their schools to adopt certain family engagement practices because they know it works in the majority of the schools, so they encourage not just Title I schools, but all their schools to continue to engage parents and family members and use similar strategies.
So if I'm a parent and I don't know if my school is a Title I school, how would you advise that parent to find that out?
Most parents like to go online.
Mm-hmm.
So most school systems have all of their schools listed. And then when you click on the school that your child goes to, that school has a website. And we usually look to see if there are Title I schools that say on the school website, I'm a Title I school.
Right.
So that's one way a parent could find out. Another way is to call the school and ask, are you Title I funded? Or you could talk to the principal or just someone in the front office. They usually would be able to tell a parent.
Let's talk a little bit more about the role that the school, the district office, the central office plays. You mentioned that they have a responsibility at the district level as well as oversight of what's happening at the schools. Can you go into a little bit more detail about what's expected at the district level?
Yes, so the district level staff usually have direct communication with the Georgia Department of Education. And so for my office, the Family School Partnership Program, I have three family engagement specialists, and they basically divided up the state into three regions. And the district office staff, if they have a question about, well, what's required in the federal law? What do I need to do? What do my schools need to do? Then they can contact a family engagement specialist who oversees their region and get some technical assistance. Now, the district office staff, they are usually very focused on administrative details day in, day out. So they're not in the classroom. So obviously, if you're not teaching kids during the day and you're doing more administrative work, you're really overseeing the compliance piece of whether a Title I school is doing the federal requirements. But our approach is not just to comply with the law, but to think of more innovative practices. And the idea is not to just check off lists of things you have to do and you're required to do, but more to think about why it's important to engage parents in a child's education and how to build those relationships, because it's not just all legal things, it's more about building those relationships with parents.
It almost sounds like that the schools and the parents need to have some kind of plan to map this out. Is that?
Yes.
Is there such a thing?
Yes.
Oh, good.
So the law does require a district level parent and family engagement policy, or you could call it a plan. And that plan outlines what the district is going to do for the school year, the upcoming school year. And it outlines strategies that the school staff and the district staff can do to engage parents. There's also a school level parent and family engagement policy that Title I schools also create, and they customize it because family engagement in an elementary school would look different than family engagement in a high school. So that's why there are school level parent family engagement policies.
All right, well, this might be a good place to stop, kind of
great.
A good little teaser for the next episode, when I think we can delve into more into those policies, but more specifically, so how do families play a role and how do teachers play a role in developing and implementing those policies? So I think we'll say thank you for the moment, and we will continue this conversation in our next installment. So from John and Craig, thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone, and thank you, Amy.
Thank you for having me here.